Welcome to the Waco Weekly. This is a new show we're trying out on KWBU where we catch you up with what's been going on in town, in Texas, and, you know, what's happening. This week we're going to show you what it's like to be tried by a student court at University High School, and we'll talk about how Waco ISD is trying to change the way it does discipline.
It was as easy as that. Trained his staff and said, you are going to use Ms. Hamilton's alternative tools now instead of writing these tickets.
We'll also be talking about McLean Stadium's swanking new Wi-Fi setup and smartphone app that lets you watch instant replays on your phone.
With these angles, you can watch it from the perspective of Bryce Petty. We've got a quarterback camera that follows him up and down the field, so you can see his own story just by watching him play the game.
But first, bird news. Quail hunting season opens this weekend, and there's new hope that the bobwhite quail is making a rebound. Bobwhite quail is a favorite target for sportsmen, and the population has dropped off by about 75% over the last 40 years. But that's not because of hunters. It's because of development and cattle grazing eating away at the prairie. And conservationists are trying to get more landowners to restore native prairies on their properties. Jay Whiteside is walking me through a pasture in rural Navarro County. Whiteside is a biologist with Texas Parks and Wildlife, and he's pointing out what a good habitat for bobwhite quail looks like. Partridge pea and woolly croton and bunchy grasses are favorites for the bird, and that's what Whiteside is trying to restore.
You know, it's a clump like this that a quail will get in and build its nest in the middle of the clump of grass. And that's a good way to hide from a predator right there.
Bobwhites are a favorite wild game for hunters across the nation, and they're famous for their call. But the bird's population has been on the decline for decades. Whiteside works with a group of landowners called the Western Navarro Bobwhite Recovery Initiative. The group is one of 15 organizations that are dipping into $4 million in quail restoration grants from Texas Parks and Wildlife. That money goes to restoring grasslands that bobwhites nest in. One of the focus areas is in Western Navarro and Ellis counties. Whiteside says around here, the decline happened when cotton farmland switched over to cattle.
They need to use the land, so they put barbed wire fence around it, put cows on it, start grazing it. And then suddenly, what happens to your cover? Especially if it's not stocked properly.
If cattle are overstocked, they graze down the grass too far. That eliminates the all-important cover for bobwhites. They need tall grasses to escape predators and make nests. When cotton was king in Navarro County, there was still ample area on the borders of fields where native grasses grew undisturbed. Whiteside says oftentimes the kind of grass that ranchers want their cows to eat is a problem, Bermuda grass. He says bobwhites don't like it, and when it's grown by itself, as it often is, it mines nutrients out of the soil. Gary Price owns 20,000 acres of ranch land in Ellis and Navarro counties, on much of which he lets native grasses grow and grow tall.
Grasses are more resilient to drought and diversity there, so the cattle are going to do better. You've got plants coming at a bunch of different times of the year, reaching maturity, so that's a benefit. And, of course, tremendous wildlife benefits.
Price rotates his cattle between the pastures to keep them from getting overgrazed. He says the wild grasses are better than the monoculture of Bermuda grass. Not only is it better for his cows, it's more economical.
His land is too much slope to be plowed up anyway, shouldn't be. And shouldn't be in cropland and shouldn't be plowed up to put in the Bermuda grass. And much of it's marginal land. So, you know, if you're going to spend money for fertilizer, you better be putting it on some pretty good land today.
Texas Parks and Wildlife says many of their requests to restore native habitats have come from landowners who have bought properties for recreation. Robert Perez is the leader of the Upland Game Bird Program at Texas Parks and Wildlife. He says the program won't be able to restore the millions of acres of depleted habitat on its own, but it can still provide best practices for landowners who want to improve their properties.
They're not happy. I don't blame them with the fact that they grew up and they had quail, and they remember hearing quail and seeing quail, and they don't now. And you associate this beginning of spring, a renewal of the year. Spring, you hear that bobwhite whistle. You hear that bobwhite call, the male breeding call. And I have folks tell me, hey, I want my children to hear that call in the spring. I don't think it's right that we don't have that anymore.
Jay Whiteside says there's no hard data yet on the bobwhite's recovery, but he's encouraged by the projects and the bird's population can bounce back quickly. And he says he gets a kick out of helping landowners transform themselves into prairie nerds.
Yeah, landowners that never looked at a flower in their life that are walking through their fields now, wanting to, you know, making a list of all the different types of flowers that are growing on their property, you know. It's a different way of looking at the world.
With KWBU News in Waco, I'm Rylan Barton. Years ago, Waco ISD piloted a program to try and reduce the number of referrals and suspensions of students. It's called Suspending Kids to School. The district says this effort has helped keep kids in class and out of the court system, and it's helped some schools change the entire way they look at discipline. KWBU's Jill Ament has this report on University High's student court, where students have a say in the disciplinary process.
Student court in Lori Palladino's criminal justice class at University High School isn't much different than a real court, except that it's in a classroom, and 17 and 18-year-olds are running the show. One student presides as a judge, six other students make up the jury. Ms. Palladino silently oversees the trial from the back of the classroom. Student court is just a piece of a larger program at Waco ISD called the Suspending Kids to School Initiative. Since 2011, the district has received nearly $1 million in grant funding from the state to keep students from getting excessive tickets for minor offenses or behavioral issues. Usually the cases are real, but because of confidentiality, you're listening to a mock trial. Here's the scenario. David is a senior at University High. He and a classmate were at lunch after sports and got into an argument in the cafeteria. That argument escalated. The classmate knocked David's tray out of his hands. David retaliated by slapping the classmate across the face. After the defendant explains his story, the jury responds with a series of questions.
Do you think that slapping that boy was worth it?
No, I don't.
Do you have any brothers or sisters younger than you?
Yes.
Do they know about the altercation?
I think so, yes.
How do you think they would feel knowing that their older brother was into a fight?
Questioning ends and the student jury heads into deliberation. When they return, they dish out the consequences, not the teachers and not the administrators.
We, the peer jury of University High School Student Court, issue the following sanctions to hold the respondent accountable and to repair the harm that was caused.
David's punishment isn't light. He's given 6 hours of community service. He's asked to write a letter of apology to the person he slapped and to his coach. His attendance must be spotless and his grades must improve. The jury also tells David he can't receive any more discipline referrals. All of this must be maintained within a 40-day period after court. Charlene Hamilton is the director of the Suspending Kids to School Initiative. She says before 2011, Waco ISD was issuing a lot of referrals and tickets to students.
Waco ISD was running with a very punitive culture for many, many years, as are many schools in the state of Texas because of zero tolerance.
And Hamilton says the campus police chief understood tickets were being written up for discretionary things. So in that first year, Hamilton says tickets in the district decreased by 54% simply by closing the ticket books.
It was as easy as that. Trained his staff and said, you are going to use Ms. Hamilton's alternative tools now instead of writing these tickets.
The district says these tools keep kids from going to alternative behavioral campuses or even being sent home, and in the long run prevent students from starting a juvenile criminal record. Hamilton says major offenses like bringing drugs or a gun to school still obviously require sending students to disciplinary campuses.
I am only looking at discretionary offenses, behavioral issues. You've spouted off in class. You've used profanity. You've scuffled with another student in the hallway.
Student court is just the last step in the larger Suspending Kids to School initiative. Before that, teachers recruit student leaders from different cliques on campus to prevent and intervene in situations where students act out. Hamilton says there are a combined 40 to 50 student ambassadors at each middle and high school at Waco ISD, and there are about 300 to 400 mediations district-wide each year.
Those are conflicts that didn't happen. Those are kids, 400 kids, that learn conflict resolution.
Cases move on to student court when offenses occur, but if they don't follow through with the programs here, they could be suspended or sent to an alternative campus. The Saturday diversion program is also used the most in this phase. Parents are required to take 2 8-hour classes on the weekend with the student. Here they learn about parenting, the adolescent mindset, and anger management. So this brings us back to Ms. Paladino's courtroom at University High, where students like Tiara usually reside as judge. She says it's important to give students another option.
We're not judging them like right off the bat. We're allowing them to explain themselves, because who knows, when they're like getting a referral or something, they're just written up. They're not allowed to explain themselves. But when they come to us, they can explain themselves and we can give them a second chance.
And our mock offender David typically resides as a juror. He says it's easier to hold students accountable when the punishment is coming from your classmates.
Because it's like, it's a jury of your peers, like students that go to the same school, so they know that you gotta do the right thing so you can get to where you're trying to be.
But the student courtroom is only used at University High. These programs are optional for administrators to use on their campus. And Hamilton says getting more buy-in from other principals can present a challenge because it might not be their way of doing things. Hamilton says the main success she wants to see is more students staying on their campuses so they don't get behind in their education. For KWBU News in Waco, I'm Jill Amon.
Jury, you'll sit back here today?
Fans at McLean Stadium don't need to crane their necks to check out the instant replay on the Jumbotron. They can get it in the palm of their hands and with multiple angles. Yes, along with the Creole blackened chicken wraps, Baylor has equipped the stadium with Wi-Fi so that fans will be able to partake in the ultimate scorecard, the in-game app. Besides providing instant replay on smartphones, the app also has real-time statistics, aggregates Twitter conversations about the game, and has a map to the bathrooms. Here's a conversation I had with Patty Orr, Vice President of Information Technology at Baylor, and Lewis Yeager, a Baylor senior who helps out fans with the app. I'm Rylan Barton. I'm here with Patty Orr, Vice President of Information Technology at Baylor. She's also the Dean of the University's Libraries. And I'm also here with Lewis Yeager, a Baylor senior. We're going to be talking about Baylor's slick new football stadium and how the university is changing the way fans watch the game when they're in the stadium. Baylor has set up a state-of-the-art Wi-Fi system over at McLean Stadium, and it lets fans watch instant replays in the palms of their hands immediately, among other things. So, first off, Patty, why did Baylor decide to do this? How did this get added to the list of bells and whistles at McLean?
Well, you know, when we began to talk about McLean and started to plan for it, one thing we knew for sure is that we wanted it to have state-of-the-art technology, whatever that might mean. And planning for it, you had to plan for 2 years from then, not what was available and possible then, but what could be available in 2 years. And we thought a lot about, you know, the video display board, and that's generally at Floyd Casey how we watched the game. If we weren't seeing it from our seat, we were looking at that video board. But, you know, it depends on where your seats are, how well you can see it. And so we got to thinking, you know, would it be possible that we could bring that to the mobile devices, because it's all about the mobile devices. And we knew that was a growing trend that we knew would continue.
Mm-hmm. And Lewis, you're a Wi-Fi coach at the stadium, and you kind of help fans out, fans figure out how to work the system on their phones and stuff. You're the guy on the ground here. Tell me, what are you seeing? How do fans use this? The app on the phone. If you could describe the app.
Yeah. Well, what I'm seeing is it's kind of split between the ages of the people that are coming into the stadium. The younger students and just younger fans actually come into the stadium. A lot of them have the apps already downloaded. They know how to use the Wi-Fi, so I don't have to give too much explanation to them. A lot of the older people I see on their phones, and I'll walk up to them and I'll say, "Hey, have you heard about the free Wi-Fi we offer at the stadium?" And some of them will just turn and look at me with this wide-eyed stare like I just said something insane. And I think that's because they're used to Floyd Casey and they're not used to all these cutting-edge technologies that the new McLean Stadium is truly offering their fans. So What I'll do, I'll just give them a little walkthrough on the app and some of the most popular features I think they would be most interested in. And those tend to be the live camera angles from everywhere in the stadium and also the highlight film that we put on each of the big plays that happens. But also the directions to the bathroom is a very close second for most popular features.
And if you can describe a little bit more, what exactly does the app do?
Well, it's we call it the Baylor in-game app, and it can be kind of whatever Baylor wants it to be. It's our app, and we're looking at how can we improve the fan experience. Mm. So one of the sections in the app is at the game, and this year, being in a brand new stadium where we all showed up on August 31st and no one knew their way around the stadium, then a big part of that was what features could we put in to help people find things at the stadium. So we have a great amenities section so that you can actually, in a database, search. And if you want to get those great smoked bacon-wrapped onion rings, you could just search on onion ring and it'll bring it up. It'll tell you where that is. And then you can click and go and see it on the map. It's just fantastic. It has information on parking. So if you want to figure out, okay, where is the parking, you can go and look that up in a section, and it can text it to you, to your phone. It has just live stats so that you can, you know, watch the stats that are being accumulated as the game goes on. If you're curious about our great bricks that we have, where people have dedicated bricks to family or friends or others, you can look up an individual, find the brick, see what they wrote on their brick, and then map how to get to it. So there was just a lot of how to find your way around and to kind of get the information that you need for the game. So that was one big, big part of it that I think we had to accomplish this year. And then, of course, our Wi-Fi coach described very carefully, you know, how we can see the action in the video and do the replays and bring it closer to you so that you can see things from lots of different angles. Mm. So just lots of fun things.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm really wondering about is what's the difference now in the game day experience? So an amazing play happens on the field. You know, are people just kind of looking down on their front? Are they trying to get the different angles, see where the catch happened, what it looked like?
Well, yes, Baylor is definitely changing, and they're currently in the process of changing how the world will watch football. Every single time that a big play happens, for the most part, they do continue to watch on the field just because this technology is so new. People haven't quite adopted it into the mindset of looking on your phone to find these different angles. But I do think over time they will become more adjusted to that, because what this technology does is it gives these fans the power to watch the game they want, the way they want. So for the longest time, we've just been forced to either, if we're at home, just watch it on TV and whatever angles they give you, you just are forced to watch it like that. If you're at the games, you have to watch it in just whatever's in front of you, wherever you're looking. But with these angles, you can watch it from the perspective of Bryce Petty. We've got a quarterback camera that follows him up and down the field, so you can see his own story just by watching him play the game. And there's more advances that are in the future. I don't know if Patty has actually talked about it, but I've seen TED Talks about how they're wanting to utilize Google Glass inside of the players' visors. So you could actually pick a specific player. You could be the 6'9" Sean Oakman and just see what it's like to be in his shoes during the football game. So I do think that this is the very first step in something that's going to completely change how fans will be watching football forever.
Sure. So how about folks up in the nosebleeds and stuff like that?
Well, you know, I'm an older generation, although I do love my Wi-Fi and know how to use it. But you know, even though I was working hard to bring this technology to Baylor, and I did think it was really important, at some points I would kind of go, oh, people, why don't we just watch the game, you know? Mm-hmm. But honestly, when you do get in your section, even if it's not nosebleed, you don't get to see it all at once. And if there was a replay, then it would be shown just briefly on the video board, and that might be something you miss too. And just being able to see the happy dance that's happening in the end zone when someone's done something special there, that you didn't really notice if you were looking at another part of the field when the action happened. It's really changed it. And it's definitely easier to see the high density, high definition quality of the video is just fantastic. And so I'd seen a picture that was taken at our first game where it showed from a very high angle someone holding the app, and you could see the field and you could see what was happening in their hand. And there's a world of difference in, you know, the definition and the quality.
Mm-hmm. One thing I'm wondering about is with the competition with other schools. The UT Athletic Director Steve Patterson said earlier this month that UT's Wi-Fi is not where it should be in the stadium. So I'm wondering kind of the importance of improving the game day experience, the technology, you know, bringing the bells and whistles to McLean.
It's really all about the technology because, you know, we live to carry our phones around. You know, I spend all day looking for my phone, actually, because, you know, you lay it down. You're like, where'd my phone go? You know, we're so so dependent on our phones now. But I do think that the Big 12 CIOs, I'm the chief information officer for Baylor. And so the Big 12 CIOs, we meet regularly. We talk with one another and we're always talking about how can we improve the technology at our stadiums. And, you know, we're so blessed that we got to build a brand new stadium from the ground up, pulling all new fiber, putting in all the technology that our hearts ever dreamed about. Whereas a retrofit is difficult, and we've done some retrofitting at Floyd Casey, but it's difficult to do. So all of the CIOs are looking at how can we retrofit, how can we improve, how can we add. And, you know, we're just really, really fortunate that we got to do it in an exciting way. And I think there'll be a lot of things learned about the technologies from my colleagues as they see, you know, how we've rolled things out. And we've certainly all been talking to one another.
Mm-hmm. What drives that competition? What are you looking for or the reason behind improving the experience for students? Is it, attracting prospective students? Is it providing a better home for alumni? Or, you know, just kind of creating more buzz about Baylor?
All of the above. That sounds like the poll. One of our features in the app, we do a poll. Athletics comes up with a really interesting poll every week, and you get to choose, you know, the answer that you want, and they can show that on the app and then up on the big screen. We just want all those things. We want it. I mean, our driving factor is a great fan experience. You know, we're looking at how can we make it a wonderful experience. But I think it does appeal to students, and I think students do love being connected and they love being there. And I do think it makes us more competitive. And I know one thing, no one has turned me down when I've invited them to come sit with me in my seats from any school of every color in the Big 12.
Yeah. So, Lewis, you're a Wi-Fi coach. You're also a Baylor senior. You used to go to games at McLean Stadium. Describe the energy of going to a Baylor game now. Talk a little bit about what was it like now versus what it was like when you were a freshman.
I mean, I came at a very great time for Baylor football. My freshman year was when Robert Griffin III became Heisman. So I'm used to the glory days, I guess you could say. But it was also at the time where it was just starting to shift. Not everybody had seen Baylor as one of those teams that went into their season and won the majority of all their games. It was still a team where you didn't know what to expect. And Robert Griffin III, he was a great player, but a lot of those games were very exciting. You never knew what was going to happen at them. So what's changed is that we've become so much more consistent. Art Briles has truly found the flow that works for him and his players. The fans love coming out to these games. They fill the stadium out every single game. People love coming into the stadiums earlier and earlier, just getting in those seats, just ready to start. It's just so much more exciting than freshman year, and I do think that's going to continue to grow as the years progress.
Do you feel like it's changed from a surprise freshman year and the surprise and, oh, this quarterback has turned out to be the real deal. Baylor has turned out to be a consistent bowl contender to now just being, you know, this is expected.
Yeah, I definitely do feel like that is the shift that's happened. And it's not good for my generation because I know a lot of other generations think that mine is very entitled to everything where we receive everything so quickly, so it's probably not helpful for them having such a great Baylor football team, but at the same time, it's just what Baylor has done with what they've been given, and Art Briles is an incredible coach, and he's done great things.
Mm-hmm. And I guess from the more administrative side, how has having a consistently great football team now, how has that created momentum for development at Baylor? And I guess, you know, McLean Stadium being the kind of crowning achievement so far of that.
Well, there's no substitute for winning. You know, I mean, winning is pretty fantastic all the time. And I think that one thing I've been at, this is my eighth year at Baylor, and I can see is there's a great love for Baylor football among its alums and its friends. And I think they very much wanted to have the stadium come home. And it's so great to have our stadium at home right on our campus. And I think when we began to work that way, they told us about their loyalty by the support that they gave for that enterprise, whether that was buying a brick or whether that was buying seats or, you know, or a suite. You know, I think they really showed us that. And the students are showing us their loyalty as they participate and invest themselves and run and jump up and down and have a great time at the game. So I think it's just a happy time right now. We're kind of walking about a foot off the ground right now. So mm-hmm. It's pretty great.
What do you think the future is going to be like, especially for, you know, technology at McLean? I know we probably don't quite have the capabilities of having Google glasses in Bryce Petty's helmet yet, but what's the next step?
Stay tuned. It's going to probably blow your socks off. We've got a lot of plans, and I think you're going to see a lot of exciting things. We haven't even begun to use those capabilities. We really stress the infrastructure to be sure that we had the firepower that we needed at McLean to do whatever we in the future want to do. So I think we're in very good condition to do that. And I want to emphasize to fans, too, that the in-game app might sound deceptive. It may be I have to go to the stadium to use the app. The app works in every respect, even at your watch parties in Seattle or in Washington, D.C., or wherever you might be all around the world. You can do every feature except the live video, because we can't, of course, broadcast that outside of our stadium. But every other feature works. So if you're having a watch party, download the app and enjoy, because there are going to be a lot of fun things. There's also an area called Other Sports, so you could go in there and follow all your favorite sports in our in-game app. All the news about those teams, every team is there in the app. So you'll see a lot of new things coming in the future.
Cool. And you did also mention earlier that there is an update with the app.
Yes, we have been improving and honing and adding. And so if you haven't done this, first, go download the app, because if you don't have it, you need to do that. We know we've had many, many thousands, I think over 24,000 downloads of the app so far, which we're pretty excited about. But if you don't have it, get it. And if you do have it, our first update is there, and that will add some improved performance and functionality. There's some fun keepsakes, some very exciting ones coming for homecoming. So you're going to want to go and get that update and try it out.
Once again, thanks a lot for coming in, Patty and Lewis.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in for the inaugural voyage of the Waco Weekly. Let us know what you think. Tweet us at KWBU or find us on Facebook, or be old-fashioned and go to the Contact Us tab on our website, kwbu.org. I'm Ryland Barton. Thanks for listening.